In the few minutes that we have together, I'd like for us to turn to Psalm 84 and verse 10. Psalm 84 and verse 10, and I'm going to focus on this verse and kind of just move through quickly the psalm, kind of give the context of what is being shared here by the psalmist. And we're continuing in our series, and there is a better way. There is a better way. And I'll begin with a statement that I say I have on my wall in my office: good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. That is something that we need to rise above mediocrity. And this world puts a premium on mediocrity. Just getting by, no big deal. And God wants us to be excellent. He wants us to approve those things which are excellent. That sets the bar very high. And you and I, as believers in Christ, need to understand that there is a better way to live than the accepted ways that are out there today. And I want us to kind of read through this psalm up to verse 10 as we consider what could be better. What could be better? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Then we have this breath mark in the Hebrew known as Selah, which means to stop and reflect upon what you have just done. You take a breath and reflect on what you just read. And then we move into verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping is a good translation of that, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. That is a contrast there of taking the weeping, the crying that comes through sorrow, and turning it into a well that supplies water. That's the picture that's given there. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And then we have that breath mark again, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts in these short minutes to some of the truths that are found here in this passage, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 84 and verse 10 is one of those verses that has kind of stands out among the thoughts that the psalmist gives throughout the Psalms, and has always been a blessing. I remember we went to Foundations Bible College, and that was the first time I ever met Adam Watt. And he had on a maroon beret. He was 16 years of age. He was standing at the door. What's that? It was a military beret. I didn't say a beret. You don't have any hair, you can't wear a beret. But anyway. But he had on one of those military berets. He was standing at the doorway, and as we were coming through, Dr. Hobbs stopped me. He grabbed my arm. He always did that. He's always grabbing my arm about something. And he stopped me, and he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said that to the two young men. Little did I know that one of those young men would come and serve with us for almost the past 20 years. And that's just how the Lord leads. But I will never forget that. As we were walking in, he grabbed my arm and stopped me, and then he said that verse. John Ashbrook was with us at the time, and when we walked on through and went into the auditorium there. But the Lord impressed upon me this verse of Scripture years ago. that there is a hierarchy of thinking that every believer needs to come through and come to. And that is this. One day in the courts of God is better than 1,000 anywhere else. In other words, we need to desire with all of our being closeness with God, to walk with God, to be with God. I would imagine if you go into the average church today, and maybe even here, I don't know, and said, all right, I've got a free ticket, 3 days in Cancun, Mexico, here, paid fully. And over here, I've got one day in the house of the Lord, and immediately everybody would go, That Cancun thing sounds really good. We've got this wall, don't we, about going to heaven? Because there's something in between here and there. What do we call it? Death. So we put up this wall around us, and our thinking is, oh, going to heaven is kind of a permanent thing. And we're not about permanent things, are we? Think of it this way. It's our privilege to remain here until God's done with us and He takes us home. But we don't think that way. You give people the option of 3 days in Cancun or one day in the courts of heaven, they're going to run with Cancun all day long, every day. But why is that? We've worked ourselves into thinking, well, heaven is something way off out here. I'm not going there anytime soon. God doesn't expect me to think that way, but David did. One day in thy court is better than 1,000. It's a comparison in the Hebrew. It's the idea of 1,000 days somewhere else. One day to be in the presence of the Lord. You think about that. If we were all to go to heaven right now, and we're not going to do something criminal here. I just want you to think with me. All go to heaven. And we go into the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine that? Purity. Holiness. Glory! Jesus is the light of heaven. I mean, we cannot even imagine. And then if we said, all right, we're getting the bus, we're fixing to load up to go back down there, nobody would be running to the bus to get on to go back. Do you understand? I hear sometimes at funerals said, oh, Aunt Maggie, she would be back here in a heartbeat to be with us. Well, if she knew Jesus, she wouldn't. She wouldn't want to come back. I don't want to go with those knothead relatives of mine. That's what she'd be saying. But we don't think like we ought to think. And this is what I'm saying about this passage of Scripture. There is a transition that the believer needs to go through in our thinking. That there's a value to heaven that is much better than what we have down here. Much better, way beyond our wildest imaginations. So why do we struggle so with coming to this realization? One day in the courts of God is better than 1,000. We can say, well, that sounds really good. That sounds like that's beautiful Hebrew poetry there. Yeah, but there's meaning behind it. There's meaning behind it. We've come up with this quaint expression. They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. How many of you remember hearing that through the years? That person's so heavenly. I've never met anybody that was so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good. It was usually they're so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. But you don't hear people saying that. We say the other, I'm so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Well, it's been my experience through my years of ministry. I haven't met very many people like that. Why do we come up with a saying like that? Well, it sounds catchy. But in reality, it doesn't have a whole lot of meaning because our problem is not that. Our problem is we're so earthly minded. Like I said again, 3 days in Cancun or one day in heaven. What would we run with? I'd hate to take a vote tonight. We'd have to do a silent vote, okay? Or we'd have to do it on a piece of paper with no names, right? Who would go with the Cancun and who would go with the court of heaven? But I think I hope tonight I've made you think a little bit. What would I go with? Now don't jump to this conclusion. Well, God would never make us make a choice like that. Really? Do you know that people will scrape at life to live just one more minute, one more hour in this world, just one more hour before they would even venture the thought, I need to go to heaven. It's time to let go. You know, the testimony of Leah was impressive to me as I talked with Todd on Saturday. She told Todd after she was diagnosed the fourth time with cancer, said, Todd, I'm not taking any chemo. I'm not taking any radiation. I'm just ready to go to heaven. Now, here was a young lady that was impressive. She was born and raised in Alaska. She did stuff that you and I will never do because we don't have ice and snow down here. I mean, she killed bears and she was like Daniel Boone of the North. She was impressive. She played sports. She was very good at that. She was a great student. But she came to the place at age 43 when she was diagnosed with this last thing of cancer that she was not taking any more treatments. Todd said, I begged her to do it. And she said, no, don't ask that of me. I'm ready to go meet the Lord. I'm ready. I'm tired of fighting this battle. Four rounds of cancer. That's impressive for someone to come to that place. Now, some people would say, oh, that's awful. That's terrible. She should have wanted to be there for a 12-year-old daughter. What? No. God has other plans. Obviously, it was His will for her to go. They had told her, said, even if you take the treatments, there's no guarantee that this will ever go back into remission because it had spread so widely. She was here just 2 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, stopped by the school, and you could tell that she was in some measure of decline. The cancer had spread to portions of her brain, and she just came to the place she was ready to go. I've counseled and talked to people that were near death. I've been with people when they passed away, and there were some that were just ready to go. Ready to just let go and go on to be with the Lord. Why? Because they considered presence of the Lord is to be preferred over what I want. What I want. A day in the courts of God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I found this statement by Charles Spurgeon years ago. I wrote it in my Bible. It says this, God's worst is better than the devil's best. That's a good saying, Charles Spurgeon. God's worst is better than the devil's best. What is it with us that we have to go and try to find happiness somewhere else? Why are people pursuing after this and that and the other, just trying to make it through the day, make it through life because of all the stress and all that kind of stuff that's on my life? I don't think I can make it. And so we run after alcohol, we run after drugs, or we run after this or run after that. We're looking for the devil's best when God at His worst is better than the devil's best. This verse of Scripture, if you'll let it linger in your thoughts and in your heart, will help you to realize there's a better way to think. There's a better way to think. I need to pursue a closeness with God because it's better than anything else. It's better than anything else. I don't know if you saw this week, but in the news, they found the body of a 72-year-old hiker who had gone hiking in August. Anybody see that in the news? They found his body after all these months passed, and when they got there, they were shocked because moving around beside him was his little dog, having lost a tremendous amount of weight, but was still living. That dog had never left that man's side. The car was parked 2.5 miles away. They had walked that far into this washout ravine there in Colorado. He had evidently had a massive heart attack and died, and that little dog didn't leave his side. I don't know, maybe he went out and hunted and found something to eat or whatever. But one of the workers that had been out searching said they had a difficult time separating that dog from the man's body because the dog had been standing watch. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a sucker for wonderful dog stories, all right? It was hard for me to read that whole story about that little dog as they tried to pick him up and he was growling because they were going to move him away from his master. They were going to be separated. Do you growl and get upset if you get separated from your Father in heaven? No, we don't, do we? There's not that closeness. That little dog didn't know anything. It was a Jack Russell Terrier. And they're very loyal animals and very smart animals. And that Jack Russell Terrier loved his master. And he wasn't going to leave him. Jack Russell Terrier did not know that he had died. But that terrier loved that man and he wasn't going to leave his side. By the way, this has happened many times through the years. There's been story after story after story of animals that just wanted to be close to them. They weren't going to leave them. There was a closeness and a connection. And folks, we need that with our Lord. Amen? You and I need that. And by and large, we don't have that. We've got closeness with people. We've got closeness with things. We've got closeness with cars. And we've got closeness with houses and buildings and things of that nature. We have this great closeness that we would just die if we lost any of those things. But wait a minute. Would you growl if someone pulled you away from your time with the Lord? Or is it no big deal? This is where this verse will help us. There's a better way to live, amen? There's a better way to live. And that way is to seek God with all your heart. Like he said in the earlier part of that, in verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. For what? The courts of the Lord. Just to be able to stand in His presence and to worship Him. Folks, we need that today. We need to spend time developing that attitude and spirit where we are growing closer every minute to our Lord and Savior so that when He comes and says, it's time to come home, it's no problem. Because I have spent time developing that closeness with my Lord. And He can say, come on home. You remember Enoch? Yeah, they were out walking one day. And he said, Dr. Bob Sr. used to say it this way. He said, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. Come on with me. And he went on to glory. That's the kind of walk that we need to develop in our Christian life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would use your word to challenge us. We need to be challenged. There's no coming to a plateau and we don't have to go any further when it comes to living the Christian life. We're always moving upward, drawing closer, at least we should be. I pray that you'd help us to take to heart the statement made by the psalmist here and to realize that your worst is better than the devil's best. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.